All right, so picture this, right? You're getting ready for like a huge celebration, total feast. Everything's perfect. Everyone's excited. And then bam, everything changes in like a split second.
Yeah, talk about a mood killer, right?
Totally. And that's what we're diving into today. This crazy turn of events in these ancient writings.
You mean the Book of Tobit?
Exactly. The Book of Tobit, specifically this passage where like this festival day goes completely sideways and it's all downhill from there.
You know, these ancient stories, they're so like relatable even today.
Yeah, totally.
Like joy turning to sorrow, totally unexpected challenges. You know, that's life,
So
you know,
true.
like timeless.
Okay, so setting the scene, right? We have Tobit. He's finally back home with his family after this period of exile.
Oh, yeah, they've been through a lot already.
Right, so this return is a really big deal, like a new beginning.
Huge relief.
Huge relief. And to make it even more special, he's planning this awesome feast for Pentecost.
Oh, wow, that's a serious celebration.
Right, it's supposed to be this joyous, like communal gathering, the whole community coming together.
So to come back from exile and then plan a big feast like that, I mean, that's got to be a powerful symbol, right?
Totally, a symbol of hope, rebuilding their lives, their community.
New beginnings.
Exactly, new beginning. So everything's ready for this fine dinner, as the text puts it. Tons of food.
Sounds amazing.
All right, all set for this awesome get together. But then here's where things take a turn. Tobit tells his son Tobiah, he's like, hey, go find a poor but, God-fearing person from our community, from the exiled community, to come share the meal.
That's interesting. What do you think that says about Tobit right off the bat?
Well, I mean, he's clearly a generous guy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Even when he's celebrating this huge moment for himself, his family, his first thought is to help someone less fortunate.
Yeah, he's thinking about others.
Totally. It's like he wants to share the blessing, include everyone.
That's true compassion, not just like going through the motions of religion, but really living it.
Right. It's about action.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Tobiah heads out to find a guest, but, and this is where it gets crazy, he comes back with some awful news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he cries out. He's like, Father, one of our relatives has been murdered. He's just lying there in the marketplace, strangled. Talk about a total buzzkill.
Oh, wow, that's horrible, just like that.
I know, right? You can just imagine everyone's getting ready to party, and then suddenly, boom, this brutal reality hits.
Like that rug being pulled out from under you.
Yeah, it really shows you how fragile happiness can be, how these external events can just barge in and totally wreck your day.
Absolutely, no matter how much you plan or prepare.
So how does Tobit react? Well, he immediately jumps into action, like no hesitation.
He didn't even finish his dinner, right?
The text says he sprang to my feet, leaving the dinner untouched, and he heads straight to the marketplace.
Wow, that's serious.
Right, and think about it. He takes the body of this murdered relative, brings him home, prepares him for burial.
That's a really selfless act, especially, you know, back then dealing with a murdered body. That could be dangerous, right?
Oh, yes, yeah, super risky.
Like there could be consequences.
Right, so he's not just being compassionate, he's also being super brave.
It's like he's putting his duty, his like religious obligations above his own safety.
And maybe even above the celebration.
Definitely. And it really highlights the importance of those obligations, the respect for the dead.
So he gets back home, performs the ritual washing, to cleanse himself after being in contact with the dead, and then he eats his meal alone, totally heartbroken.
Oh man, can you imagine going from this planned feast with the whole community to eating alone in mourning?
Ooh, it's like such a powerful image, the contrast between what was supposed to be and what actually happened.
Totally. And then there's this interesting part, right? After this whole ordeal, Tobit reflects on a prophecy from Amos.
You mean that line about, I will turn your feast into mourning?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the deal with it? Why bring that up?
Well, you know, Amos was all about like warning the people of Israel about God's judgment, even when they were outwardly religious.
So you think Tobit sees this tragedy as some kind of like divine sign?
Yeah, possibly. Like he's connecting it to the bigger picture, maybe even worrying that their situation is still precarious, even though they're back home.
Makes you think, like, even in moments of peace and joy, you can never truly escape suffering, right?
It's always lurking.
Okay, so even after this crazy day burying the murdered man, Tobit isn't done. He goes out at sunset to actually dig the grave.
Wow, he's really dedicated.
Yeah, he's committed to doing what he thinks is right no matter what.
That's true conviction.
But here's the thing, his neighbors, they don't get it. They actually make fun of him.
Really?
Yeah, they're like, this guy's crazy. Doesn't he remember what happened last time? He was almost killed for doing this kind of stuff.
Wait, what happened last time?
Oh, yeah, the text mentions he was hunted down for doing something similar before, like burying someone who wasn't supposed to be buried or something.
So he knew the risks, and he still did it.
Exactly. He was willing to put himself in danger because of his beliefs, which is, pretty amazing.
Yeah, that takes a lot of courage.
But also kind of foolish, maybe.
Well, yeah, it makes you wonder, when does personal conviction become, like, reckless?
Right. At what point are you putting yourself or even your family in unnecessary danger?
That's a tough question.
It is. Okay. So after this whole night of burying the dead, Tovik goes to sleep in his courtyard, right? And it's super hot. So he leaves his face uncovered.
I can relate to that.
And then this is where it gets almost funny. Like, you can't make this stuff up.
What happens?
Bird poop falls into his eyes.
What? Are you serious?
Dead serious sparrow droppings, the text says.
You've got to be kidding me. After everything he went through, that's what brings him down.
I know, right? It's like almost absurd.
It's like life has a weird sense of humor, you know?
It really does. So he tries to get help, uses ointments, but it just keeps getting worse. Yeah, eventually he goes completely blind and stays that way for 4 years.
4 years, it's a long time.
I know. Can you imagine suddenly losing your sight and not knowing if you'll ever get it back?
I mean, that would be a huge adjustment, not to mention the impact on his family.
Totally. And the text actually mentions how distressed his family was, so it clearly affected everyone around him.
And, you know, think about the practical side of things. He can't work. He needs constant care.
Right, so it's a huge burden.
Absolutely.
But there is a little bit of good news. For a while, anyway, his relative, Carr, steps in to help.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he takes care of Tobit for 2 years.
At least that's something, a bit of support during that difficult time.
Yeah, a little bit of a break for the family.
Shows the importance of family, you know, having people you can rely on.
For sure, but then Ahikar has to leave. He goes to Elam, and Tobit and his wife, Anna, they're kind of on their own again.
So what happens next?
Well, we learn that Anna's been working as a weaver to support the family.
Wow, so she's carrying the weight now.
Yeah, she's the breadwinner, which, back then, that was pretty unusual.
It says a lot about her strength, her resilience, you know, stepping up when her family needs her.
Absolutely, she's essential to their survival.
Totally.
Okay, so one day, Anna finishes a weaving project, and her employers, they pay her wages, but they also give her a young goat as like a bonus or
A
something.
goat, huh? That's an interesting bonus.
I know, right? But it seems like a good thing, right? Maybe they can sell it or use it for milk or whatever.
Yeah, it's a little extra something for the family.
But when Anna brings the goat home, Tobit, he immediately gets suspicious. He's like, "Where did you get this goat? Did you steal it? We can't eat anything stolen."
Wow, he jumps right to that conclusion.
Yeah, like no trust whatsoever.
I mean, I guess after everything that's happened, he's probably on edge.
But still, it's like, come on, give her the benefit of the doubt.
Well, maybe he's just so, like, set in his ways, so committed to honesty that he can't even fact the possibility that she got the goat legitimately.
Yeah, maybe his blindness is also making him more, I don't know, distrustful.
That's possible. If you can't see what's happening, you rely more on your assumptions.
Right. And his assumption is that she must have done something wrong.
It shows how hardship can really test your faith, your trust in others.
And how easily those principles you hold so dear can kind of turn into like rigidity.
Yeah, like you become so focused on being righteous that you forget to be, like, understanding and compassionate.
Totally. And Anna, understandably, she's furious. She's like, "Hey, I worked hard for this. It was a gift, a bonus for my work."
So she's defending herself, explaining the situation.
Right. But Tobit, he's not having it. He insists that she takes the goat back.
Oh, man. That's got to be frustrating for her.
And that's when she lets him have it. She asks him this really powerful question. She's like, "Where are all your charitable deeds now, huh? Where are your righteous acts? Look at what's happened to you."
Wow, that's a heavy question.
Yeah, she's basically calling him out. She's saying, "Look, you've been so focused on being good, but look where it's gotten us. We're struggling, you're blind, and now you won't even let me keep a simple gift that I earned."
It's like she's saying, what's the point of all this righteousness if it doesn't actually lead to anything good?
Exactly. It's like she's questioning the whole point of his way of life.
And it really highlights the strain that their suffering has put on their relationship. Like she's starting to resent him.
Absolutely. And her question, it's not just directed at Tobit, it's directed at all of us, It makes us think about how we judge ourselves, how we judge others.
Especially during tough times.
Right. Like when we're going through something difficult, do we start to question the fairness of it all? Do we start to doubt the goodness of others?
Yeah, those are tough questions, and there are no easy answers.
So let's recap. We've got this planned feast that turns into a total disaster, this random act of violence that disrupts everything.
And then Tobit, he steps up, even though it's dangerous, he does what he thinks is right.
But then he gets hit with this totally unexpected misfortune, the blindness.
And it just drags on for years.
And then it puts this huge strain on his family, on his relationship with Anna, to the point where she's questioning everything he stands for.
It's like this roller coaster of emotions, from joy to sorrow to frustration, anger, resentment.
It's the human experience in a nutshell, right?
Absolutely. It's messy, unpredictable, and often unfair.
And the question Anna asks, it really sticks with you. It makes you think about your own life, your own beliefs.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a situation where you're doing what you think is right, but is just leading to more suffering?
And if so, how do you deal with that? Do you start to question your beliefs, your actions, your faith?
It's like, is there always a clear connection between doing good and having good things happen to you?
It's a tough question, right? And there's no easy answer, but it's definitely something to think about.
For sure. And maybe that's the point of this whole story, to make us question, to make us think, to make us wrestle with these difficult ideas.
I think you're right, because in the end, it's not about finding easy answers. It's about grappling with the complexity of life, the messiness of the human experience.
And maybe, just maybe, that grappling, that questioning, that's where we find some kind of meaning, some kind of truth.
I like that. Yeah. Finding truth in the messiness. I think that's something we can all relate to.
Absolutely. And it's something that we can continue to ponder long after this deep dive is over.
That's the beauty of these ancient texts. They keep us thinking. They keep us questioning. They keep us engaged.
Yeah, they offer a glimpse into the past, but they also illuminate the present and maybe even the future.
Well said. And on that note, I think we'll wrap it up here for today.
Sounds good.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Book of Tobit. It's been enlightening, to say the least.
It has been.
And as always, keep those questions coming, keep exploring, keep digging deeper.
And don't be afraid to get a little messy along the way.
Exactly. Sometimes the mess is where the real treasures are hidden.
Well said.
Until next time, keep searching.
And keep questioning everything.